Happy Easter, everybody, and welcome to this very special online service. It's special because it is Easter Sunday when we are celebrating the gift of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is a gift to be spending this time with you whenever you might be watching this special Easter service. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and it's my pleasure to be with you on this special day. Well, today we're going to be celebrating and taking a look at the story of Easter, and we hope that our time together is a gift to you and a blessing to you. And we really do hope that our time together inspires you to take a next step in your faith journey. Well, so many people are feeling very vulnerable today. So many people are either actually are more vulnerable or are feeling more vulnerable today than probably ever before, or at least in recent years. I know there was a great sense of vulnerability during the pandemic, but I think tensions and challenges have risen to new levels for many people right now, and so people are feeling that. Now, either you're feeling this directly, or somebody you care about is feeling more vulnerable because this is just the times that we're living in. And what this means for us in these times of vulnerability is we might not be in touch with what this does to us. We might not be realizing that this creates a sense of uncertainty, that we feel that we're at risk, that we feel like we're under attack. And when that happens, we start to lose focus and we start to have an unraveling sense of what is going on in our lives. We start to wonder, how are we going to make it through the challenges that we're facing? Because if we're feeling vulnerable in one area of life, we wonder if a challenge is going to arise in another. And if we're feeling that way in one area of life and another one, we wonder if it's going to be like a domino effect, and then things around us are going to continue to crumble. Well, what we need in times of uncertainty is actually not certainty. We can't actually get certainty about the future in that kind of way. But what we can have is a sense of clarity, and we can have as a sense of hope. And the clarity and hope that we can have is knowing that we are loved by a God who has defeated the power of sin and death in our lives and in this world. When we know that we are loved by a God who has put the power of sin on hold and put the power of death at bay, we know we are loved by a powerful God who is with us and for us and wants the best for us. Now, you might be wondering to yourself, well, how can we know that this is true? How can we have this kind of hope? And if you weren't wondering that already, now I hope you're thinking about it. And I'm here to share with you the reason that we can have hope is that there was more than just an empty tomb on that first special day. There was more than just an empty tomb on that day when Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, it would have been enough for there to be an empty tomb, but that wasn't where God stopped. God continued and did something amazing, which can help us have the hope and the confidence that we need to face uncertainty and the challenges in our lives. Now, what we know about this moment, what we read about in the Gospel of Luke, is that on that day, on the very early part of that day, some of the disciples that were women in particular, there was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and some other women, had gotten up early on that day to anoint the dead body of Jesus with spices. We hear earlier in the Gospel of Luke that they were unable to do that because he died at the beginning of the Sabbath, and by the time he was in the tomb, they had to pause what they were doing so that they could go do their Sabbath celebration and their Sabbath pause. And being the good Jewish ladies that they were at the tomb early that day when they could to take the next steps. But when they got there, they were shocked. When they got there, they were surprised. It says in Luke that the stone was rolled away and that there was no body in the tomb. Now, this is crazy because nobody expected no body. And what this means is that something great was happening. Now, at first, they were just confused. And then, according to Luke, they were afraid because according to the text, two angels appeared and told them, "Don't be afraid," which is the standard greeting because you would be afraid. And the angels asked them, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" Now, they were confused, they were surprised, they had gone to do one thing, and this miraculous thing was happening. And the angels then said to them, "Remember, he told you that he was going to be handed over to sinners, crucified, and was going to be raised on the third day." Now, the angels actually give a command there. They command them, or they encourage them, as it were, to remember. It wasn't a question like, don't you remember? There's other times where that kind of remember happens, but here it's a command. Remember that he was to be crucified, handed over to sinners, and on the third day, rise again. Now, at this very moment, you would do what they did, because they had come to anoint a body that wasn't there. They went back to the rest of the disciples, this time to a mixed group of men and women, and started to tell the rest of them what had happened or what they had experienced. And unfortunately, shockingly, I suppose, the men don't listen to the women. Fellas, if you take anything away from Easter today, let's remember, listen to the women. Life goes so much better when we do. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't. However, at least one of them started to wonder, maybe there's something going on there. And so Peter then gets up and leaves them and goes to the tomb himself and finds an empty tomb. He finds an empty tomb and he wonders with amazement that something might be up. Now, in all possibility, in all reality, the story should have kind of stopped there, because they would have found an empty tomb. They would have been surprised by this. They would have just chalked it up probably to grave robbers, or maybe the Roman authorities or the Israelite authorities, the Jewish authorities, took the body to just try to make sure this was all over. And what should have happened then, despite the fact that there was this appearance to the of the angels, and reality, the men didn't listen to the women, it should have been over. Next steps would have been to elect a new leader. In their case, it probably would have been Peter. He was the front runner. And then they would have moved on. And then actually, we wouldn't be talking about this, because it would just be a minor footnote in Roman history and probably forgotten. The names would be lost to history, most likely. But the good news is that it didn't stop there. And it's good for you and for me and for everybody that's been and will be, because what happens next changes everything even more. It says in the text later on, there was an appearance of Jesus to two disciples that were walking along the road. One of them was Peter, and we don't know who the other one was. And they begin to understand that Jesus did not just leave the tomb, but he was back from the dead. That the one they saw crucified was back. He talked to them. He interacted with them. At first, they didn't know it was him. And then it became clear to them it was Jesus. But just as they were getting a sense that it was him, he disappears from them. But that's not done, because then those two, Peter and his other friend, go back to the rest of the disciples and start to tell the story of their encounter with Jesus on the road. And they don't believe them at first either, because this is just crazy talk. But then in the midst of that moment, which is towards the end of that whole day, Jesus shows up in the midst of all the disciples and brings them the reality of what had happened. Jesus calms them down. They're afraid at first. And then he says to them, "How could you have doubt?" To which I think they would respond, "Well, pretty easy. We saw you die and now you're talking to us." And Jesus says, "Relax. I'm not a ghost." He then asks them, "If I were a ghost, why would I ask you to touch my hands and my feet?" The inference there is because he's there, and because he's then the crucified Jesus, that you could see the marks from the crucifixion in his hands and his feet. And they start a little bit more belief. They start to think that this could be true. And I wonder, because hopefully some of them started to reach out and grab him at that point or touch him a little bit. But just to prove and put a finer point on all of it, Jesus asks them for something to eat. He says, "Do you have something to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it. Perhaps no greater sign to them that he was really there, that it was really him. Because, you know, normally dead people stay dead, but he was back. Normally, dead people don't show up and have interactions with people. Normally, dead people don't then invite you to touch them and to interact with them in that way either. And certainly, as we would kind of say, dead people wouldn't eat anything. But that's because he wasn't dead. He was back. God had done something amazing. God had changed everything. God solved the issue of sin, and God brought Jesus back from the dead, which showed that God is all-powerful and defeated the power of death once and for all of us. And that is why we can have hope. That's why we can have confidence that we are loved by a God who has dealt with the impact of sin and changed the course of history by defeating the power of death. And that's what can give us confidence that we can face the challenges in our lives. Because God is with us, and God is for us, and God wants our lives to be blessed by this so that we can be blessed by others. What this helps us see is that when we face the undeniable consequences of sin and the reality of the brokenness in our lives, and when we are wondering whether God has the power to help us go past the challenges of this day that we're in, the answer we can have is yes. Yes, God has the power. Yes, God is with us. And yes, God wants us to have lives that are defeating sin and are living beyond the impact of death in this life. And because there wasn't just an empty tomb, because God raised Jesus from the dead, we can have the great hope and the great confidence we need that all of this is true for us and for everyone and for all people for all time. And when we face the challenges of our lives, when we have so much uncertainty and complexity and ambiguity, when we are feeling attacked, when we're wondering how we're going to get through this, we're wondering if anybody cares, we can know that God does. God cares, and God is with us. And when we face those challenges, then we can make our way through them because God has conquered the ultimate challenges of life and brought us a gift of a life beyond. I've recently been going through some challenges, so to speak, and some uncertainty of my own. Recently, there have been so many challenges, so many changes around us. And you might not know this, but my kids are now 12 and 10. And so for the first time as a family, we've been going through the paces of normal life and the paces of today's life. And our kids really kind of understand what's happening in a new way. They were so young when we went through the pandemic that they just kind of had to deal with the oddities of what that was like and just kind of wait it out. But now they understand the challenges that humanity and the world that we're facing. And what's really challenging and what's really hard as a parent is that I don't have answers for them for their questions. Now, parents not having answers for their kids' questions, that's not new. But what might be new is that deep down in my soul, I wonder if we're going to make it through these challenges. Before, I think we thought we had optimism that somebody was going to figure out what was going to happen, or we would get around the challenges and solve them together. But I just some days wonder now if we're going to solve them. And that's why faith becomes so important. And that's why it's so important that I know and that you know that you are loved by a God, and that I'm loved by a God, and that my kids and my family are loved by a God who is with us when we face those challenges. And no matter what happens, we can hold on to the hope that God raised Jesus from the dead, and because of that, God defeated sin and defeated death, so we can have confidence that God is with us. And that no matter what we're facing, and no matter what challenges or what questions remain unanswered, God is with us. And when we face those challenges and we have that sense of uncertainty in our lives, we can have clarity on this, that we are loved by a God who brought Jesus back from the dead, that we are loved by a God who solved the problem of sin in our lives so that we can have lives filled with God's goodness and hope, and that we're loved by a God who had the power to defeat death in this life so we can have God's hope in this life and have an eternal life in the one to come. That's the God who is with you when you face the challenges of life. When you face the next challenge, remember that is who is with you and who is leading you and who is guiding you, and you can make it through that challenge too. Would you please pray with me? God, we thank you that you are a God who is perfect, that you are a God who has a purpose for us, and that you are a God who leads us in times of uncertainty, and that you are a God who loves us when we need it the most, which is truly all the time. God, we thank you so much that you raised Jesus from the dead. We're grateful that through that and through his sacrifice on the cross, you dealt with the impact of sin and you brought about the defeat of death so we could have hope in life and hope in life eternal. God, as we think about the people that we're trying to love and the people that we're trying to help and the people that we're trying to instill hope in, help us to be people who embrace your love. Help us to be people who hold on to the hope. Help us to be people that live knowing that you are the God who is with us and for us and leads us. God, we thank you that you have given us the gift of resurrection, both in this life and for the one to come. We give you thanks for this and all that you give to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.